Did an abandoned laptop just confirm that Biden uses political powers to benefit his son's business dealings?
And instead of a Biden-Trump debate, we got two competing town halls. Did the voters learn anything?
All that and more, only on this episode of the Midday Mumbles podcast. Welcome back to episode 49 of the Midday Mumbles podcast. I'm Gage.
I'm Isaac.
And today we are back after our little break last week. And holy crap, a lot of stories broke this week. It's like, yeah, we're gone and then everything happens.
Everything falls apart. We're like, well, is there enough stuff to do an episode this week? I mean, maybe we'll take a week off, you know? And then boom, everything explodes. The world falls apart. Which is good for us because it gives us stuff to cover.
The world falls apart when we're not doing our podcast.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the reason. Causation correlation doesn't always mean correlation always means causation. It's factually evident. There you go. Jumping into our crucial to the world's going round podcast.
So this week, there was supposed to be a debate, and obviously one of the biggest concerns, and I think that this was just a scapegoat for the Biden campaign, but they decided, because of the fact that, you know, President Donald Trump had COVID-19, they didn't want to participate in the second presidential debate. And, you know, you had a lot of voters kind of disappointed because there are a lot of people still in this country that do not have their mind up made up. So instead of going through with the debates, Biden and Trump had their own town halls, but separated. So they still did an event at the same time on the same night, but they did it separated. So you had voters flicking through the channels, watching both the Biden and the Trump town hall. And I watched the Trump town hall. I didn't, you know, obviously I was more interested in that than I was the Biden town hall. Cause I think, let's be honest, the Biden town hall was going to be the same thing, you know, that we have seen for many months now. And, you know, he actually had it easy. George Stephanopoulos from ABC hosted the Biden debate, whereas I think her name is Savannah, doesn't matter, hosted the NBC Trump town hall. And George Stephanopoulos made it easy for Biden. It was very simple. I wouldn't be surprised if they had a teleprompter or someone, you know, they allowed someone in his ear.
Get the right. Hang on. Let me. Okay, so this is what I have to say. They're saying for me to say, just go vote. Your vote matters. Just go vote.
And the Trump town hall was, they literally was like, they went at him hard. And, you know, Isaac has only seen some highlights from both debates, whereas I watched the Trump one.
I've been a little busy. That's why I wanted Gage to spearhead this, because I'm not super well versed on them.
The biggest questions that that were asked were very hard ones, because they weren't simple. Like with Biden, they were very simple questions. With Trump, and I got to say though, with some of Trump's answers, he did deflect very much.
Yeah, I was from the highlights I saw, it seemed like Trump was doing a lot more deflecting than he has done in the debates. And I don't love that, but still he was answering the questions to at least a degree. You know, a lot of times Biden, you know, when one of the things I saw was Biden was asked about racial problems in the Black community. And he was basically like, go vote. That doesn't answer the question. That's just
because ultimately these people, and I'm going to say Biden, especially Biden, the answers he has, like the thing on fracking. OK, fracking is a question that to me is simple. you're either going to ban it or you're going to allow it. If you ban it, hundreds of thousands, if not a million jobs are going to be lost. If you keep it, you know, you allow it, you continue to allow it. People are, I mean, you know what I mean? Like I feel like for a lot of people, the fracking thing is going to make or break Biden, the vote.
Well, yeah, right? Because fracking is an integral part of the United States.
Right.
It's how we get a lot of, we get our power from oil. We heat our homes with oil. We get our power from coal. I don't know about oil. I'm not even, I don't think that's right. I think it's mostly coal. It's a part of all of our things. Plastics are made of polymers, and polymers, a lot of times.
Quick promo, Poland Spring.
Yeah, if you live in Maine and you want to buy water, New England. If you live in New England, is it all of New England? If you want to buy water that's slightly overpriced and just as good as all the other waters, Poland Springs.
They make Poland Spring like 12 minutes from Isaac's house.
Yeah.
They make it.
Well, they bottle it.
Bottle it.
and then put a hefty upcharge on it. You can't just remove that that's vital to us and replace it with green energies like wind power and solar power. It's not going to work.
It's not realistic.
They take up so much land. If you want to get a good amount of power coming from a green energy source besides hydropower gets a pass. And if they count it as green energy, you're going to take up a lot of land and it's going to be really inefficient and really bad. And you see this incompetence in how things are all through everything. Electric cars. People push for electric cars because it's green. You're not burning gasoline, but you're charging your car from your house, and your house is getting its power from a carbon burning coal plant. So what are you doing? You're still emitting the same amount of carbon, except you're adding lots of batteries, which are really harmful to the environment as well. So
what made me laugh was there was this meme where it had Greta Thunberg saying buy electric, and the electric car was coming out of a manufacturer that burns, a factory that burns, carbon emissions into the sky. Until we can figure out a way to make cars work with nuclear power or even hydropower.
What are we in
it's
the
not
50s?
Gonna be efficient.
What are we in the 50s?
It's not gonna be efficient unless we figure out
car.
Hydropower.
Gage, please. Hydroelectric car?
No.
I think
I'm yeah, hydro.
I think you're talking about a boat. Are you talking about a boat?
No, you could figure out a way.
I've got a revolutionary idea, okay? We can use the food we ingest to power our cars. Okay. So and it's hydropower as well. So you take a piece of wood and you make a shape out of it that's kind of like a cup, but it's elongated. And when you put it in the water, it floats because there's air inside of it and it displaces the water, which lifts up the weight, right? And you go inside that and you use two sticks and you paddle in the water with those sticks and it moves you through the water. No carbon emissions there. Boom. Save the environment. You're welcome.
Why couldn't we figure out a way, though, to make the car, run on water, something that's very, and something that can be reused,
What do you mean, Gage?
I don't know.
Free energy? You want what are they called? The machines that are infinite energy machines.
It doesn't matter because obviously right now it's not realistic. It could be possible,
Gage,
to make a water engine.
That's like some serious chemistry stuff that I don't think you know anything about. I don't know anything about. I know vaguely about
it. The greatest innovations in human history have come from entrepreneurs that say, I don't know how the fuck to do this. You know how to do it. Figure it out. That's honestly, every innovation has been like that.
I mean, maybe, so, but are you big money enough to be throwing stuff like that away?
No, but
Gage, however, all I'm saying,
if I give the right idea to a billionaire, maybe, just maybe.
Okay, whatever.
Anyway, back
on track. Yeah, so President Trump, he disappointed me a little bit because he didn't seem like he was on top of it quite as much. Maybe he wasn't taking it as seriously. Maybe the COVID has got him a little less prepared. Who knows? Give it till the next, because we'll have one this upcoming week, right? There'll be a
Thursday
debate.
Thursday, and then Friday, there's a big hearing on Capitol Hill with the big tech talking about what we're talking about next. But
before you vote, if you're voting ahead of time, if you're trying to, please don't do this, but if you're trying to do the absentee ballots, don't do it. They're using them to cheat. They're throwing them out. They're buying them from people. It's bad. But if you're doing either of those, just give it until this upcoming Thursday to really hone in on who you want. Give it another debate. The first debate with them was terrible. The vice presidential debate, I think that was very conclusive. I think that anyone that would watch that would probably agree with me. I haven't discussed this with many people outside of my family and friends, but I think most people would agree that Pence won that hands down. Like, hands down. He demolished Kamala Harris.
And honestly, if Trump... Let's say he has a second term after that. I would vote for a Pence presidency. However, back to the debate or the town hall.
Right. And then that's leading it up to saying, and then there was these town halls, and I don't think they're conclusive enough. I don't think it's head to head like we should have. We should see their two minds working against each other. See who's, I keep fiddling with this USB drive. I gotta set this down somewhere. I look like a goof.
I don't think there was enough information, right? But I think what Isaac's trying to say is there's not enough information.
It's not conclusive enough. If
you're on the fence right now on who you're going to vote for, I mean, I can't imagine someone is on the fence about Trump or Biden, but if you are on the fence, then watch this upcoming debate.
Well, I can understand it. If you're not someone that fully believes in all the conservative ideologies, then I can understand being on the fence. They both have things about them that are not the best. I think Trump is a lot of times overly rash. And
Trump,
I think,
though, has kind of molded the Republican Party. When he ran for president, the Republican Party stood for many different things.
Sure.
Whereas now it's very down to a niche. Rebuild the economy, make America great again, and that's what it comes down to. Create more jobs, make it, you know, make the American
lower
dream
taxes
feasible.
That's a big thing.
Not even
the economy.
Just
a lot of what Trump has done, and this is really good, is lowered taxes in places to allow for economic growth, to bring businesses into our country, and to, in the end, after they've been brought, increase how much money our government's getting because we have more economy going around. It makes sense.
But he's
you don't want to scare all of the places that produce economy out of our country because we just charge them like crazy for existing. That is stupid.
But he also has really pushed for new economic innovations in this country, new small businesses. He's really encouraged entrepreneurship. He's made it more feasible because with the Obama administration, there were ridiculous corporation taxes, whereas now it's cheaper than ever to start a business and hire people. And if you didn't know this already, and I hate to be the one to tell you this, but businesses are the reason that people have jobs. You know, and in the Democrats, the Biden Biden campaign, the Democrats in general think that if they raise the taxes to be ridiculous, such as, I mean, I've heard some estimates as high as 90%, businesses aren't going to be able to afford to operate in this country, nor are they going to be able to afford to hire American workers, which hurts the economy in the long run. which personally, I think that's what the Democrats want, because the Democrats would rather, you know, help China out or help these third world countries. Would you consider China a third world country? I don't think that's a third world country, but helping these other economies
out.
They're
just communists.
Right. The Democrats would rather help these other economies out, help workers from other countries than they would workers from the United States. And it's very evident with the, and I think one of the best examples of this.
So let me give you economy tour by my friend Vlad. Okay. You are the worker, and you go to work for the state, and you build wall or tank, and then you go home, and then you go to breadline, and the state gives you bread, and you eat the bread, and then you wake up in the morning and you work for state.
I think I think the best example for the Democrats not being for the working American man or woman is the fact that they would rather allow illegal immigrants into this country who can get those jobs for far less than minimum wage, because let's be honest, the Mexican currency compared to the USD is like a superpower. Compared to what do they have over there?
It isn't a lot of the world. You can convert to whatever other currency and be like wealthy. You could take a diddly amount of savings and go move to Africa and be like,
or the Philippines.
Go buy a mansion and like
right.
have servants to feed your private drafts. Like
what it comes down to is our country has so the USD is worth so much that. The Democrats know this, and the illegal immigrants know this too. You know, they can come over to this country, work, steal a job from an American for half the price or even less than that, and, you know, ship the money back to Mexico. You know, this happens all the time. You know, you see these companies who will, you know, get these Mexicans, and they mostly are Mexicans, illegal immigrants. And they'll be like, oh yeah, you live at the, they'll have like these little houses. It's almost like slavery.
Well, I really don't know much about Mexicans coming into the United States to work. I mean, I know that it happens in, I think, California, and they'll work at like farms and stuff. But oh, that's they come really to, the extent
Maine.
Of my...
There are tons of them in Maine. And I'm just saying this, and then I'll let Isaac go.
Well, someone that's of Hispanic descent is very different than... a Mexican immigrant coming to take our jobs. It's not like having that skin color and having that origin makes you a bad person or a non-citizen. No,
but if you come over here illegally, you need to come over here sure. legally.
Right, so, I understand that. And you need just, to become just, a citizen
let
and
me
become
just tie
a member
this.
Of our
let me,
recycling economy.
Let me just tie the knot and then you can finish.
Okay.
If you are on the fence and one of your biggest concerns is... that you are worried that you're not sure if Joe Biden is for the working man or even Kamala Harris. Because let's be honest, if Joe Biden gets elected and it's for sure, he's going to be in there probably for a year.
They'll probably just off him or kick him out for having dementia.
But if, say, Kamala Harris is the president as well, you need to know for sure. Is your job safe? Because ultimately, you know what they want to do. Donald Trump wants people to come over here legally and pay their fair share of taxes and actually be a citizen of this country, not come over here work for half the rate of an American to entice a scummy businessman like myself.
yes, that is accurate. I can attest to that. Gage is a scummy businessman.
But I'm just saying
you know how much Gage has paid me for the podcast. I think he gave me a handful of change on episode like
20
like 30 or something.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's my pay, and I gave it to Brody at the time because Brody still existed then.
Who's Brody?
Yeah, what? Brody.
But you make your point.
I was calling you a scumbag.
We secretly hate each other outside of the podcast.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. We never talk.
We're nice.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was gonna make a point on you can't just be like, oh, someone's a Mexican, so they're here and they're taking our jobs, or that's an unfair assumption. That's racist. There's but plenty I never of said people that. That are right. I know. I'm not calling you a racist, Gage.
I said illegals.
Exactly.
It just so happens that a majority of illegals are Mexican.
No one should be in our country unless they're legally here.
It's estimated that there's 20 million illegal Mexicans in this country.
Is it really that high?
Yes.
Yikes.
As of 2016, yeah.
But anyway,
it's probably higher.
Did you say, wait, how much did you say?
20 million.
Holy crap. That's a huge percentage of our population.
But it doesn't count as a population, man.
Well, sure. I mean, even if you add that to our population and then you take that as a big percent.
Yeah.
But we need to be putting people in our country that are going to benefit our country. We can't just have a border be a free-for-all. I mean, sure, people are in sucky situations, and that's too bad, but we can't just open up the gates to, like, all of you know, whatever country that's in piss-poor condition and let their problems become our problems. That's dumb. We need to care about our people. We need to care about our economy. And as a government and as a people, we need to be looking out for each other. We cannot have our economy be a free-for-all. We need to make more money come into our country. We need to make more jobs for our citizens. So borders are important in that. And it's vital to keeping things here. That's why we have lines on a map, because this is this area that has these rules, that has these people in it, that stand for these beliefs, and have their dollars worth so-and-so, and they speak whatever language. We're different. All around the world, we're all different. We have different beliefs. We have different moral grounds. We have different cultural experiences. We have different economies. And we need to be looking out for ourselves. It's a free-for-all, and we matter the most to us. I need to care about Gage, and Cage needs to care about me, because we're in this together in our
America,
country.
America, America first.
Exactly.
So the Department of Homeland Security say now 22 million illegal immigrants estimated to be in the U.S., up from 12 million. So 22.1 is the estimate as of right now, which is a lot.
I don't necessarily think that the best solution is necessarily just throw them out of the country or do anything like that. I don't know what the best solution.
Well, if they're law-abiding citizens and they're over here to make an honest living,
right? If it's like a mother that's illegal and she has a daughter in the country that was born here and is a citizen here, and she's just here because she wants to be able to care for her daughter and she doesn't want her daughter to go to awful Mexico, I don't think we need to necessarily throw them over the border and say good luck.
That's, but the thing is, and I really wish,
but there's
honestly,
a lot
Trump
of criminals. There's a Trump, lot of criminals.
Trump would have such a higher approval rating and also probably would have this election in the bag if he would just expose the Democrats' hypocrisy. Because if you remember correctly, Obama was actually had a lot of illegal immigrants in cages. And he also said that if you're a parent and you're allowing your kids to cross the border illegally, we're sending them back. And the Democrats seem to forget about that. And when Trump does it, it's like he's a racist. It's all one giant scheme to paint this man as a bad guy. And honestly, yeah, I think that immigrants are great. There are a lot of great immigrants. If you look at, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs are immigrants. It's the American dream. Our country was built on immigrants. People
come
risking
in here,
their lives.
Come in here and build our economy. Come in here and build your own wealth. That's great. But do it the way you should do it.
Do it legally.
Don't walk across the border with a donkey and have a pack of cocaine on its back. That's not good. Right. We don't want that. That's what's happening.
Right.
Not everyone is that. Some people have better reasons. Some people are just trying to escape their situations. but we also can't have our borders just be a free-for-all.
But there's a very small percentage of that. There is a very small percentage of people that are escaping alive. Yeah, you might be able to, you know, yeah, CNN might be able to go to a camp and see all these immigrants and talk to a few emotional mothers. But at the end of the day, statistically speaking, here's an analogy for you. If you have a box of cereal and 20% of the cereal is poisoned, are you going to eat the box of cereal or are you going to throw it out?
You have a box of Lucky Charms.
Right, and 20%.
You only want the charms, but they put very few charms in there.
But I think that's it for this segment. Now a word from our sponsor. And we are back. So some other major news broke this week. Okay, so you've probably been hearing this for a long time that Joe Biden used his political power to get his family rich, make them a lot of money. And he's denied this for a very long time. Some people have said it's up to like 7 years that he's been denying this for. But some evidence actually leaked. So, well, it didn't leak, but...
It's not Hunter exactly Biden. A leak. It's more right. of a... It's a charitable donation of lots of information
right.
from an oopsie from Biden's son's name is Hunter.
Hunter.
Yeah. A major oopsie from Hunter Biden.
Major oopsie. So he dropped his laptop, and you probably heard the story already. He's dropped the laptop off at this repair shop, and basically it was left there. Hunter left it there. And after the 90 days are up, the guy owns the laptop. And then he kept it for a few more months. And then apparently the story is he heard all kinds of stuff on the news. He knew the stuff on the laptop was could be criminal evidence. So he sent a copy of the hard drive to the FBI originally. And they did absolutely nothing about it. So then he made a second copy of the hard drive. And send it to Rudy Giuliani's office, which if you don't know who Rudy Giuliani is, he's Trump's lawyer. He actually was the mayor of New York before de Blasio. I believe it was before de Blasio. It could have been like two mayors before, but he is known as one of the greatest mayors of New York. He turned their economy around. He's a very intelligent guy. So you guys all probably know who Rudy Giuliani is, but on this laptop, right? On this laptop, though, was a lot of damning evidence, a lot of which has not been released at this point. But the New York Times was it the New York Times or the New York Post? I think it was the New York Times. They broke the story on this. The New York Post got information that Rudy Giuliani shared with them. The entire hard drive, in fact, and they, with their internal investigations, confirmed that everything on this laptop was 100% true. Well, you know, it was validated. It was Hunter Biden's laptop. So basically, if you don't, I mean, so what's actually been breaking the night that this broke, everyone was talking about this. It was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. The following day, they decided to say that this was a Russian hoax to change people's minds 2 weeks before the election.
Russia wants to say Russia wants to convince the world that they are siphoning money to affect political people, and they want to release this into the American public's eye as though it was Hunter Biden.
Right.
And it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Russia would not do that
because
they're not going to make themselves look bad.
But the thing is, there's photos on here of him smoking crack, and it's him. You know, it's him. Yeah, 100%.
It's literally a picture of him, like laying in bed with a crack pipe in his mouth. Looking like a homeless man that just like somehow found his way into a home.
If you didn't know, the New York Post is a very liberal news outlet, right? They've probably
pretty much all of them are nowadays.
Right. They aren't conservative in any way, shape, or form. They confirmed this, right? They confirmed that this is actually Hunter Biden's hard drive, and everything on it was Hunter Biden's property. Okay. So at this point, we, in all the news outlets, are saying that this isn't true. This isn't actually his laptop. So apparently, and this is just a little quick bit, Hunter Biden's lawyers, the day this broke, contacted the store and said they wanted the hard drive back, right? So, if it was fake, I don't think Hunter Biden's lawyers would be calling.
Why would they be calling? Why would you be worried about a lie?
Right. Why would you be worried about a lie? So basically at this point, we have this information, and the day it broke, many accounts were banned on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, for sharing this post. All you had to do was share the post, and some accounts were banned permanently. Some were deactivated for a few days. Some couldn't share the link at all. They were whatever. So it was very various. But a majority of the people who got banned were conservative politicians, or, Trump, I believe, shared this. I think he said at one of his rallies, don't quote me on this, but that he, his account was deactivated. The president of the United States, mind you. So there's a lot at play here.
Yeah, well, the president of the United States, I mean, who even knows about that kind of guy anyways? Like, what's he lying on there saying anyways? It's probably some weird conspiracy theory stuff. It's no big deal if that account gets banned. He's only the president of the United States. I mean, the Twitter person that banned him probably didn't even recognize this position.
So the biggest offender of this was the CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey. Twitter was the biggest offender of banning. And conservative politicians, want answers. Because why is big tech censoring this information? Why is big tech allowing fake news, very obviously fabricated news stories to be shared on their platforms? But with this, you can't share it. Why? It breaks freedom of press, freedom of speech. So Congress have subpoenaed Jack Dorsey, and he's going to be going on Congress next Friday to answer some questions. And honestly,
this is good.
I think they should be stripped of their freedoms, honestly.
Well, I mean, the day that they lose their Title III, it's Title III. I can't remember the technical name. I think it's Title. Gage Clark, fill this in for me.
I title think it's three, Section 3 protections.
Section
I
3.
I think it's Section 3. But anyway.
It protects them from the. It makes it a public forum, and it makes Twitter not viable or not liable for what's posted on there, because it's just a public forum. People are just putting whatever they want on there. But if they lose that, which they very well could from something
they
like
this.
They
could get sued from anyone.
They can get in trouble for anything that's put on their platform. So I bet they're just going to poof if that happens.
Imagine Twitter or Instagram or YouTube or Facebook being held accountable for what people post on their platforms. Holy shit, they're going to go under. They will. So you know what? This is good, because this right here is going to show them that we aren't screwing around. If they want the ability to be a public forum, they need to especially uphold the First Amendment rights, freedom of speech and freedom of the press. Right?
I think we need to revise our Section 3 and expand it and make it more rigorous on people can post what they want.
Whatever. I mean, obviously, some websites to protect, young people.
You can't have children and adults on the same platform, and then there's some messed up, sadistic, some weird adult that derives his pleasure from posting screwed up crap on things just to mess with people's heads. You can't have people like that posting things on this. So obviously, that has to go.
Yeah. And also, you know, pornography and also just stuff you that kids shouldn't see. That is obviously it should be gone. But, you know, we I think personally that we can't. Anything should be allowed, honestly. And I've said this in a previous podcast. Freedom of speech was not designed so that people could not dislike what you have to say. It just protects you from being able to say whatever.
Well, it you know, protects this is an extreme, you from the government. And affected, this is,
but someone couldn't sue you.
Right.
Someone can't say, oh, I don't like what you had to say. So there is defamation of character.
Right.
But that you'd really have to be going out and it'd have to be a smear campaign. It would have to be obvious that none of the stuff you were saying was true.
If I was parading the streets with signs saying that Gage supports I don't know, something ridiculous like child murder, Gage supports pedophilia. If I was littering the streets with things like that, that would be defamation. Gage does not support those things. Why would he? But if someone believed it, I'm going to be affecting Gage's standing with people. Might not want to buy things from Gage if he's some sort of seller. People might not want to trust Gage, or people might not hire Gage. And I'm damaging his reputation, and I'm damaging how successful he can be as a person. Right. On but things that are said, totally fabricated. So that's obviously not acceptable.
I think but the best example of think, this... Sorry.
You can say. I was going to bring it somewhere else, so you can...
You remember the Brett Kavanaugh hearing where they literally smeared his entire life and most of it? The entire actual allegation was made up. Christine Blasey Ford made up the story. His life at this point, yeah, he's still a Supreme Court judge and he will be for the rest of his life, but he is still going to be known by many people as the guy who sexually assaulted that lady, even though that never happened. Not many people know that she came out and said that it wasn't true.
It doesn't take much to have a headline that gets it in people's minds, but it takes a lot to get it out of them.
Oh, yeah.
It's very damaging if these things aren't really taken care of. But with that said, our freedom of speech is important. We need to be able to believe and say whatever we want without being legally affected by the government. Because some opinions that are unpopular now will be popular in the future and they'll be a good thing. Or maybe there'll be a bad thing. But we shift and change. We can't have a set thing of this is good and this is bad, regardless of whatever. There's importance of people's ideas and people's beliefs. That's a very important thing. I mean, sure, I don't agree with a lot of things, but I agree with your right to believe that, and I agree with your right to, you know, stand for it and say it in public. People can dislike you for it. I can dislike you for your whatever opinion you hold. If you're a Nazi and you believe that there needs to be another Reich and, you know, some silly, ridiculous thing that's evil and wrong, I'm going to dislike you for that. I think you're the scum of the earth and I dislike you vehemently. But do you have the right to believe that? Should the government be putting you in prison for having that belief? Not unless you act on it. If you go and you hurt people because of your belief, you deserve to go to prison. You deserve to be treated like a criminal because you are. But if you just believe it and then you don't do anything about it, I have no problem with that. I won't like you as a person for it, but...
Yeah, and... So I think we kind of gone off topic here with the emails. But
we're on his emails. Yeah, it was millions of dollars. They found millions of dollars being siphoned from China, from Russia, from a bunch of these communist or sketchy countries that do bad deals.
But here's the deal: these big tech companies, including YouTube. When I was doing research for this podcast, I couldn't find the original news stories that aired the night that this broke because, if believe it or not, CBS, MSNBC, they all were like talking, NBC, ABC, they were all talking about this, saying like, they couldn't believe this, or there were some things that, you know, they're fact checking. They made this sound very credible. The following day, they decided to take the route of saying that, no, this isn't true. This is all, you know, it's a Russian hoax. So
pull a Uno reverse card on us.
But the problem is, Isaac, though, unless you recorded the broadcast on your television DVR, there's no way to find it on social media. There's no way. I mean, I couldn't find it anywhere. And I looked on YouTube. I even tried DuckDuckGo.
I'm sure there's going to be some people releasing it. It's probably just hard to find. If you dig for it real hard, I bet you can find it. But
well, obviously, I'm not going to spend 6 hours digging for a video of someone, of a liberal being a hypocrite. Because, I mean, you see that every day.
Yeah.
But
it did happen. And it does happen. It happens fairly often because big tech does not mind tampering with things that they shouldn't be doing. And that's why we need to be cracking down on them.
But this is a big story, honestly.
The meat of the Biden issue here, the Hunter Biden issue here, was that Hunter Biden was getting into deals. He was getting money from these other governments. And then that money was not only winding up in the hands of Hunter Biden, because it's not a problem if Hunter Biden does it, as far as for Joe Biden is not. They're different people. If, you know, Hunter Biden was getting up to some bad stuff, I mean, I don't know if I can fully fault Joe for that. But the problem is that they were also finding that money was going to Joe, because how does Joe even make his money? What does he do? Like,
I got a question, though, for you. And I want you to honestly be. So liberals, the Democrats, have literally said, oh, Joe Biden has nothing to do with his son, Hunter Biden. Well, there was this video that surfaced. Actually, it wasn't about Hunter Biden. However, remember when Trump got impeached in the House for a phone call with a Ukrainian, Ukrainian president or whatever? So,
they're trying to impeach him for him saying one line that he said while he was on the phone with him. It could have been interpreted. As him asking for, like, money or a favor or something like that. I don't remember the exact words, but it was.
But Biden was caught on tape, and he said this very prominently, saying that, yeah, I, you know, told this government that if they didn't fire the prosecutor, they weren't getting the $1 billion. And he said that he was leaving in 6 hours. And then he said, well, I'd be damned. I got a call within the 6 hours, and the goddamn guy was fired. So the media had this, and they said, oh, it's nothing, it's nothing, it's nothing.
Just committed it under quid the carpet.
Pro quo, right? If quid pro quo, why doesn't this disqualify him for the presidency? He broke the law.
Because people don't know about it.
He withheld government aid because he wanted someone fired. And the guy that was getting fired had something to do with his son, Joe Hunter Biden. That's how all this shit got uncovered. I don't know enough about it, but do research on it, because you'll learn something. You'll learn that these people are hypocrites.
I mean, everyone's a hypocrite every now and then, but when you're a career hypocrite, we've got a problem.
a career hypocrite. We'll get them next time. Now a word from our sponsor. And we're back to end out this episode of the Midday Mumbles podcast. So this is a crucial election year, and Isaac and I want to say, go out and vote.
Absolutely.
If
vote
you,
how you believe.
Right. I know a lot of people, and I knew a lot of people, and I know a lot of people today that aren't going to go out and vote because they don't think their vote counts.
Or they feel discouraged, or they feel, you know, however, whatever. There's lots of people that have lots of reasons for not going out and voting. But your voice does matter, your opinion does matter, and how this election turns out will change the fate of our country. I feel like this is a very, very vital election. So really, really do figure out who you prefer. Figure out what person you think is going to hurt the country less if it's down to that, and vote for that person. I mean, obviously, I believe Trump is going to build our country back from this problem. I firmly believe in Trump. I firmly believe that he is the right person because Biden is up to some sleazy things and does not seem very competent. But, I mean, you can make your own opinions and figure that out and actually go vote. And vote in person because the absentee ballots are not a great idea.
Regardless of who you're voting for, though, I don't care if you're voting for Joe Biden, Donald Trump, or that Joe Jorgensen lady. Obviously, you probably shouldn't waste your vote on someone who has less than a probably 1% chance.
Vote for one of the two major candidates. The two major candidates are the ones that are realistically going to be in. So if you're, how you go is your first choice would be Joe Jorgensen. Sure, that's great and all, but there's no chance. She's an independent. No independent ever wins. And then your second choice is Joe Biden, and then your third choice is some other independent or whatever. Then you should be voting for Joe Biden, because there's no chance that Joe Jorgensen is going to get it. If you believe that Trump is slightly better than Biden, vote for Trump. Don't vote for Joe Jorgensen. Don't vote for another independent. You're throwing away your vote, and that's very vital now.
Right. But, but yeah, if you did enjoy this episode, I, you know, share it with your friends, your family. We have, we're only a couple weeks away from the election. And we are very close. And we have a very special...
Holy crap, it's the week after next. So it's next week, there'll be one more podcast for that. And then we'll have a live stream on
election
Tuesday,
night.
I believe.
Election night. It's going to be a huge live stream. We're going to have our pizza party and
pizza party.
It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. The dates will be officially announced on our social media platforms. Not the dates, the times of which we're going to start. I think we're probably going to start around 9 PM, but, we might start.
We'll have to
later.
Get the pizza well in advance because everything around here closes at like 7. It's like time to go to bed.
Right. So this is going to be a huge night. On Tuesday, November 3rd. So go out and vote in the daytime, and then you can watch us talk about
voting.
The election. I'll be voting too. We have to get the stickers and wear them for the election night. So it's going to be awesome, and we'll see you guys all next week. Watch the debate on Thursday. Have a good day. I've been Gage.
I'm Isaac.
And we're signing off.